This is a production of Tripod Broadcasting.
Well, let's start recording, so...
We just did.
Okay, cool. I think this is a key show to listen to because it's
all about emotional masturbation. Journalistic integrity.
It encapsulates everything that we're about.
And I'm sorry.
Now, give that some thought.
Yeah.
With Addison.
I can't be mad at you. You got a haircut.
And Matt.
I would recommend that you stop listening right now.
So demanding as a co-host. You want one? I thought maybe you were going to demand one.
Well, now I am. Give me one. You've got one?
I got a full one over here. Oh, wait. I thought that... Never mind. I don't have one.
Oh!
Welcome aboard Tripod Broadcasting's flagship show. Give that some thought. I'm your host, Addison. Joining me is my co-host, a man who's currently working on his own Star Wars sequel, Matt Hugh.
Hey, what's everybody? What's up there? Can we take that again? Stop. Just take it again.
Sure. Anything you want.
You're not going to do it.
You're so demanding.
You're not going to do it. You start with it. What's up, everybody out there in Audioland? How are you doing tonight?
Why with the Audioland?
I'm Matt. That's Addison.
Can we have a quick conversation about the Audioland thing?
Yeah.
Why do you do that?
Because it's every good radio personality... They all have their signature catchphrase, their sign-ons, their sign-offs.
And that's your signature catchphrase.
What's up, everybody out there in Audio Land? Yes, I like Audio Land because it is it's not Radio Land anymore. It's Audio Land. It's podcasting. The internet podcast is king.
So this
podcasting is clearly won over. And when people get the technology in their hands, so that streaming content is around them 24/7. It's in their cars. It's already on our phones, but it'll be in their cars. It'll be at work. It'll be everywhere they go where they previously saw or listened to media. It'll all be streaming whatever you want.
Matt,
completely
new
100%
media mogul.
Yeah. So we don't listen. We're not living in radio land anymore. It's audio land.
So
the internet is audio land.
So
and
this
our
is
listeners
gonna,
are audiophiles and
audio
podcasts.
Files.
Yeah. They're
so this is going to pilot you to the front page of iTunes. I believe is your plan.
No, but I don't want to be on the front page of iTunes any more than I want to rule the world.
Why not? The front page of iTunes is where all podcasters want to be.
I just want to find about 500,000 devoted listeners.
Hold on. Can I just make a quick note?
And then, what's up?
Lackadaisical co-host. I just want to jot something down here for me.
Okay.
That's fine.
I didn't know you could write things on your palm with no pen.
You'd be surprised.
Wow.
It was a mental note.
Oh, okay.
Jerk. Tell me about the Star Wars sequel. What are we working on?
It's not really a sequel. You said sequel, but it's not really a sequel. It's more of a reimagining.
A reimagining.
Of the original trilogy.
So it's like The Hobbit is to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Well, I was on Twitter the other day, and your wife had sent a tweet about how she was dreaming in Star Wars characters and Happy Days characters.
Right. And neither of which I'm quite privy to, but go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. He knows nothing about Star Wars or Happy Days, but instantly in my mind, I'm like, wait a minute. Fonzie as Han Solo? That needs to happen. That needs to happen right now. We have to make that. So, like, it's
meme culture,
it's,
please.
Yeah, it's all predicated on the Happy Days characters just doing Star Wars. Just take the original Star Wars movie, and instead of Harrison Ford's face, just put Henry Winkler's face on it. Instead of Mark Hamill, just put Ron Howard.
Yeah.
And so, like, that, I went through and I got a couple characters. And
pulled out of the whole cast.
Pulled out their Happy Days equivalent. So... Of course, Han Solo is Fonzie.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, imagine him in the Millennium Falcon. He just hits the control board, hyperspace, ayy! Like, you know, like,
that's
anyway,
pretty funny.
So Richie Cunningham is Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
His sister Joni is Princess Leia, obviously. Ralph and Potsy are R2-D2 and C-3PO. I mean, that's perfect. It fits perfectly. Chachi, I had a lot of trouble thinking about, like, what role would Chachi be in, and then I thought of it. It was Lando Calrissian. That's the only... and then Arnold would be Yoda. Arnold slash Al character would be Yoda.
Yoda.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe, like...
Could the Force handle a duality?
Maybe. But, Mr. C, mm-hmm. or Mrs. C, is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Okay.
But Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Mr. C is Alec Guinness's
so
Obi-Wan
So you've really
Kenobi.
Broken this down.
A little bit, yeah.
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 This is what a man who has
this
a
what
lot
happens,
of time off.
Yeah, this is what happens when you sit on the stoop like all night.
At 4 a.m., yeah.
Drink a six-pack of stag beer.
You drink a six-pack?
No. It
a
was
four.
Like
it was a four.
No, it was like three.
Oh.
But like real beers.
The infamous three-pack.
Yeah, like it was three. But it was like real beers. Like not 12 ounces is not a real beer. That's three-quarters of a beer. One beer is 16 ounces.
Or more,
it's
yeah.
a pint.
Yeah, I agree.
No, one beer is one pint. That's yeah. equals to one pint. None of this American 12-ounce beers. No. Yeah. I've even seen 10 or 8-ounce beers. No.
Yeah, that's weird.
One time, like, I think, I don't know, it was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, but I was over at my apartment, and I called my sister up. She was at the store getting some stuff because we were having some people over late at night, or uh-huh. later that night, and she was coming over, and I was over at my apartment, and my roommates were like, hey, me and my roommate were like, hey, let's get a six-pack or something. So I called her up, and I'm like, hey, Gene, will you grab a six-pack while you're grabbing the chips or whatever at Schnucks? She's like, okay. She comes back to the apartment
mm-hmm.
with 8.2-ounce beers. The Budweiser minis or the Bud Light minis. First off, she brought me Bud Light, which is bleh.
Yeah,
but then,
that's terrible.
This is probably like 6 or 7 years ago. But no, it was when I was on Marine. So it was like 5, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's
8-ounce beers. That's not a real beer. That's half of a
disappointment.
Real beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. I've always felt that about soda, too, because it doesn't really, like...
Like a 12-ounce soda isn't one soda? See, well, I believe that.
But even a 12-ounce, because it's a nice little...
12 ounces of soda equals one soda.
Yeah, but you grab the can, but then they came out with, like, these little, whatever they are, 8 ounces or whatever, mm-hmm. like, the two-thirds size of the 12 ounces.
Yeah.
What's the point? Who are you selling that to?
Yeah.
Like, why would you ever grab those? Why would those, like, I guess maybe to give to kids? Is that, mm-hmm. maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
So, in summation, an actual beer... is 16 ounces. So when I drink three beers,
you've had
it's equal to four beers for an average man.
Yeah.
A normal human man.
Yeah.
That's four beers. For me, a wizard of my level.
What level wizard are you?
32.
By the way? 32.
Level 32.
Of how many levels? Or they just keep going?
It's no, well, 100 is
explain
kind of
explain wizardry to me in about
okay, Gandalf,
3 minutes.
Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, big gray dude.
Level 250 wizard.
Really?
That was as Gandalf the Gray. When he became Gandalf the White, he went up to level 251, which is the level cap.
251?
Yep, that's the level cap.
So you're not much of a wizard, then, if you don't mind me saying.
I'm just starting out, though. Matt, you gotta remember that Gandalf in the movies,
mm-hmm.
he's over 25,000 years old.
So let me get this straight,
30.
Though. Can you?
I'm only 30, okay?
So you're 30, but can you, and you're level 32 wizard?
Level 32.
So what
suburban wizard.
Suburban wizard, level yeah. 32. So what would you say are like the... Like, what are some of the perks of being a level 32? Like, can you command falcons yet? Or,
no,
like, what?
No.
Where do your perks come in? Just, like, a knowledge of the world around you? Or
it's,
what?
It's a knowledge of the world around me. Uh-huh. It's you know, knowing things that other people may not know. Like, you know, various factoids. Things like that.
Now, what level does falconry come in? Because that is the point that I would be interested in wizardry.
Well, you have to really lay the groundwork. I mean, you have to put in your time, man.
Yeah.
You can't just come in and be like, teach me how to command winged animals. Like right off the bat, like that doesn't.
The winged animals come later. Yeah,
that comes way later. Like level 150. I'm not even sure because they don't tell you about like what the next level is going to be.
Yeah.
Until you attain the next level,
now,
like you have to pursue the knowledge on your own.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're like, oh well, I just learned about like, you know, the fine points of Skyrim and Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm bumped up to level 31 now.
Oh.
Like not like okay. Level
so it's
31
not like
is,
a, there's yeah. not like a badge. There's not like a badging ceremony.
No,
it's not like the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, they're not telling you what the next level is. You have to go out there and find the knowledge for yourself.
Oh,
and then you attain the next level.
Well, level 32 is looking a lot more prestigious in my book then.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
that's
all,
fairly advanced.
Mm-hmm. It's basically what I had to do to get level 32 Suburban Wizard.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn how to open a can of or a bottle of beer.
Uh-huh.
Just using my teeth.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Take off a fat girl's bra.
Uh-huh.
These
are all level 31.
Yep. Okay. And how to digest an entire box of Cheez-Its without getting a bellyache.
Wow.
And that's level 32.
Level
for
32.
Suburban wizard. Yeah.
So the levels are different depending on the type of wizard that you are.
Well, I mean, if you're a fire mage, sure.
Let me ask you this. Is there strictly a falcon wizard?
I've heard of Falcon wizards, right, but they're very rare.
Yeah.
Because you kind of have to grow up with the falcons and with, you know, with the winged animals.
Almost like, what was the Greek myth of the kid that was raised by the wolves? I'm drawing a blank.
Wolfman? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that was Wolverine, maybe?
Yeah. I remember Disney made a movie about it. White Fang. White Fang.
I don't.
Really? You never saw White Fang?
Complete blank.
From like 94, 95?
No. My family wasn't really attuned to Disney movies at that point in our film career.
Like not even like live action?
Well, around 94.
I remember it was like Ethan Hawke, one of Ethan Hawke's first movies. Like he,
right. Yeah. Well, around 94, let me give you a quick rundown of the movies in the Todd home around 94.
Mm-hmm.
The Three Stooges.
Okay.
I think Beauty and the Beast, if it was out. The Sound of Music. And then anything by Kirk Cameron.
Okay.
Oh, and then some older Disney flicks, like your Davy Crockett's and things like that.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Yes, Swiss Family Robinson. Yeah. And that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on. That's some great wisdom on wizardry.
And Star Wars.
And Star Wars. Star Wars. Now, wait, are there Star Wars wizards?
No, there's no wizards in Star Wars.
No, Jedi. Are there? But they're can Jedi. You be a wizard of Star, like, can you be a wizard of Star Wars?
No, you have to be a Jedi of Star Wars.
So wizards are the Jedi of the regular world.
No, Jedi are the Jedi of the regular world.
Wizards, so Jedi wizards. And wizards are completely different.
Yes, yeah. Okay. There's no similarities, no lines you can draw between the two. They're completely different entities. Mm-hmm. From what I know, they're at war with each other, but that's a completely different topic.
Oh.
You were about to change the subject.
No, well, I was going to say, last question on this subject, what made you decide to be a wizard instead of a Jedi? Or can you choose, or is it in your DNA, or how does...
Well, basically, wizards don't have to, like...
There's no school of wizardry? Or there is? Or?
It's, you know, it's just a lot cooler.
Than Jedi?
Than Jedi's, yeah.
Okay.
Wizards are cooler than Jedi's. That's all.
Well, I mean, you're a wizard, of course, in your opinion.
Yeah.
Either way.
Plus, Jedi's can't have sex. That's actually in the Jedi code.
So they're like priests?
Yeah. Yeah.
High-powered priests.
Wizards, however, can get all the booty they want.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Well, then the choice is clear.
I am.
Moving on, and give that some thought. Moving on, I don't know if you'd seen any headlines about this. I saw quite a few on Twitter and Reddit and things like that. This actual story is from NPR. I noticed afterwards it's just a breakdown of a story that the New York Times wrote. So either way,
I'm surprised you read it if it was NPR.
I would do a lot of things at work that surprise you, man. Stop. Stop.
Wow, I don't even want to think about it.
Stop.
It's probably napping, isn't it?
I was actually... Let me
you
get
take
into
naps
that real
work.
Quick.
Don't lie. Don't
I
lie.
Don't,
you take
I
naps
don't
at work.
Take naps.
Yeah, you do.
In the conventional sense of laying down and taking a nap.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What I do, though, is when I feel the sleepies coming on, mm-hmm. as I frequently do at work... Well, I have a mirror. I have a rear view mirror on my monitor so I can see behind my desk.
Yeah. As you should.
And I'll kind of do the rest one eye thing, like the mom really? That hasn't gotten any sleep thing. Cuz I don't want to be completely asleep if somebody comes up, but I definitely will do the rest in the eyes thing kind of for a minute or two. That's my darkest confession here.
God, you're such a great employee. It's no wonder you're moving up in the corporate world.
Shut up. Anyways, for this one's from the NPR. The title is Reports. NSA has keys to most internet encryption.
Oh, yeah, I saw this too.
Yeah. Basically what that means, I'll link to the article again. Basically what that means is that a lot of the private sector products and things that people use to encrypt their devices and their storage and their communications and things like that. The NSA essentially hires people to work either with those companies to build exploits into them or works with them, hires people to find vulnerabilities specifically in those types of products so that they can get in and read them.
Yeah.
So basically what it does, though, and the reason this article has some significance, in my opinion, is that it brings to light not only the scope of the NSA's drive if that's the right word, to want to spy on Americans and the globe. But I think it brings to mind, pick your products wisely. You know, open source products, things like that, things that people have looked at quite a bit, as opposed to maybe a closed source option, because any communications protocol or service or something like that that is closed source and is a corporate entity, mm-hmm. is probably in bed with the NSA, and that's why they're still around. Is really the assumption that I'm drawing from it, which we had talked about before.
And the thing that I saw from this article, and I kind of skimmed it, but. Or not this article, might have been a different one, but I kind of skimmed
the same story.
But
yeah.
The gist that I got from it is that since we first began communicating electronically with each other,
mm-hmm.
on a grand scale,
yeah.
on a large scale,
the internet as we know it,
yeah. For the past 30 years, the government has been preparing to spy on you.
Yeah.
The government has been building fail-safes into everything that it can,
mm-hmm.
backdoors, in order for them to have access to anything that is electronic as far as communications.
Mm-hmm.
Any electronic data from the very get-go, from the 1980s, from when there were first computers in homes, the United States government had backdoors to be able to access those computers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something like, you know, we talked a couple episodes about our brothers and sisters growing up, or our children growing up, and never having not been spied on.
Yeah.
Never having not all their communications monitored.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't think that it's weird. This article, to me, just proves that
the scope.
Having grown up.
Yeah.
Even our parents have never not been spied on.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's true.
We wonder why there's not a huge outcry about Fourth Amendment rights being violated. Mm-hmm. And about how, you know, private citizens are being spied on and their information is being swapped and sold. And it's because we are used to it. Why is there not a huge public outcry about it? Why aren't people rioting in the streets? It's because we've been programmed already. We're already used to it.
Yeah.
And so, yes, we disagree with it ideologically, and we'll talk about it on podcasts and on media and things like that. And,
yeah.
But will we do anything about it? No.
Yeah.
We won't.
Well, and
nothing's going to stop. It's too big. Big Brother has already... It's too big. You can't stop it.
Yeah.
Anybody who will stop it who tries to stop it is either going to be in jail, be ignored because they can't do anything about it, or end up dead, like certain Rolling Stone reporters. And that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good point. Well, give that some thought. I pretty much agree with you. The only thing I would add to that is just, like we talked about, I think a number of episodes ago now, about the armchair activism. Like, mm-hmm. we think that doing the like button and hitting the retweet button is doing something.
Yeah.
Or signing a petition even, or that kind of thing. But it kind of bears to mind the question of when is it going to go to the next level, and what's going to take it there? Because the way things are moving, even in just the surveillance thing, you know, what's going to be the next level, like with the Restore the Fourth rallies, things like that. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the next level that are going to get people out of their armchairs? Is my question.
I'll tell you what the next level is when they no longer have access to either internet porn or the internet itself.
Yeah, you're probably
when
right.
Society society breaks down to the point where we no longer have the internet,
yeah,
that's when people will start rioting in the streets and try to overthrow the government. Or when the government blocks our porn, like they're doing in the UK.
Yeah.
Which it's not a... You hear the term porn blocker, and we might have talked about this before.
Yeah, we did.
Hear the term porn blocker. It's not a porn blocker.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the term they use for it, because it just happens to block porn. It's everything else that it also blocks. Like, you are giving up your free internet. You're giving up any dissenting voice to the British government.
Yeah.
By allowing that porn blocker in your house in the name of decency and blocking porn.
Or whatever
porn.
It might be.
Like, in this day and age, as an adult, you should just know, if you don't want to see porn, don't go to a porn site. You don't have to block it on your computer. Also, you can... I'm sure your 7-8-year-old isn't an encryption genius. And so, if you put blockers on the internet and just have a password for it, like, they can't get it. So, you...
And the ruse is porn for a tool...
To keep porn away from children. Which, if you're a responsible parent, you should be keeping porn away from your children anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you should already have filters on all your computers.
Yeah, or have public computers access
to your smartphones and all your devices and everything. You should already have filters on them.
Yeah.
So, if you're a responsible parent, so all this does is just help the government parent for you, and that's dumb.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we've seen
how badly
the government is at parenting children. I mean, look at the current generation. Look at our generation.
The lost generation.
Well, they're not lost yet. They just haven't decided what they're going to do with their lives.
They're getting there.
And they have all this college debt.
Yeah, it's true. Either way, give that some thought. That's something that Matt and I kind of follow, that we've been interested in.
Hey, surprise, the government's still spying on you and you're not really free. Ho-hum.
Nothing to see here.
Another day.
Yeah. Moving on. This is a story that's going to resonate heavily with you, Matt. I mean, you're just...
Oh, heavily. Eh?
Heavily. You're going to be so tickled that I pulled this out.
Tell me, how about that heavy tickling?
Do you have to do that?
I do have to.
Do you have to do that on our show?
All the time. Tell me about that heavy tickling.
I need to give you your own channel where you can just say and do whatever you want. Because you're like,
I have my own channel where I can say and do everything I want. It's this one with you.
Yeah, well, that's...
I want to say and do everything I want with my buddy.
That's the misnomer, apparently. Here's the headline, and this story is from... I pulled it off of Reddit, but this story is from thetimestribune.com.
Reddit, where all good content comes from.
Where all great news
is found. It's the king of the internet. If you're not on Reddit,
what are you doing online?
Yeah, WTF, come on.
Yeah, and not only that, but I hate the way people are like, Everybody thinks everything is a new social network, which I don't know when we got in our minds that every new startup or service or anything is a social network. Like, you tell anybody about anything and they're like, well, I'm on Facebook. What?
Yeah.
Like, why is that? If you compare Facebook, that's like apples and oranges. That's not even.
First off, it should be called Facebook. It should be called our Facebook. Because everything.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Everything stupid on Reddit eventually filters down to Facebook.
No, it's true.
2 weeks.
It's like a 2 week cycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen so many times. What I love doing it depends on the person whether I actually tell them or not. But frequently people send me memes or videos or whatever kind of content that they think is funny or I'll find interesting. And they send it to me. And I'm like, yeah, I saw that on Reddit 5 days ago.
Yeah. No, here's the thing about Reddit, though. If anytime I hear a story that piques my interest or something that just happened within a couple hours, the first thing I do is hop on Reddit. Because I know I'm going to hop on Reddit, I'm going to search the story, and I'm going to get 4 different or 5 different articles about it, all linked from different users, and all have different opinions about what happened. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to get the entire story about what happened.
And some user commentary as well.
And it's going to be international articles. And it's not going to be like USA Today. It's going to be decent websites that
Russia Today, The Independent, The Guardian.
Al Jazeera.
Yeah, or if it's a local story, a local news site.
Yeah, exactly. Local news sites are the best.
I really appreciate because if you hear a story that happens in like another state, for example, so it's still the United States, maybe it is a national story.
For instance, but we were talking about off air in Florida.
We didn't talk about another story.
Oh, we didn't talk about another story before we started?
We didn't.
Okay, we didn't yell at each other for like 20 minutes.
I don't recall that.
We didn't pound the table.
I don't recall that.
No, you didn't throw your computer mouse at me?
No.
That didn't happen? Okay, whatever.
My wife didn't leave the room in a huff.
You're right, because she got frustrated because of your opinion. Yeah, none of that happened. I'm sorry. I was thinking about this other time when I got in an argument at a buddy's house and his wife stomped out of the room after he threw a computer mouse. I was thinking about that other time.
Anyways, I love getting a local news story on it with kind of the local bent on whatever the story is. Mm-hmm. That's all I was going to say. So, and a lot of times you will find that on Reddit because the relevance of a story, they can post it on there. Somebody will find it and they'll post it on there and people will comment on kind of the idea or the precedent behind it or whatever, but it's still a local story. And I appreciate when a story can be a local story
and stand as
that. Here's the headline. Woman sues McDonald's franchise for payroll debit. Excuse me. And here's the quote that I pulled from it that I know you'll like. The Shavertown McDonald's forces workers to be paid only one way, with a payroll debit card that burdens workers with hefty fees to obtain their hard-earned cash, according to a lawsuit filed Thursday on behalf of Ms. Gunshannon and other McDonald's workers.
Yeah, this is not the first time this has happened.
Really?
Yeah, people have sued about these pay cards for a while.
Well, apparently this place, and I don't know, from what I recall, you at least have the option to direct deposit most times I've ever had one. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like that case is here.
No, they don't. There's some places that they don't give you the option.
Yeah.
You get the pay card, well, and that's it.
Yeah, Ms. Gunshan in 27, Dallas, and an untold number of current and former employees had no option to receive a traditional paycheck, here it is, or get paid by direct deposit. She and her attorneys said in this class action against franchise owners Albert and Carol Mueller of Clark Summit. Mm-hmm. So I thought that you'd be pleased by that. And the fact,
well,
that
we talked about that two episodes ago about the pay cards.
The pay card scam.
It is a complete scam. Yeah. It is a scam on level and worse than payday loan places. Because at least payday loan places,
you're making the choice to go in there.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to go to a
You're making your own stupid place. Decision but to take if, your 18%
if you
interest.
Happen to have to work at a McDonald's, and we've already talked about this, but nobody wants to have to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
It's nobody's first choice.
Yeah.
So you're getting,
unless you're the Hamburglar.
Yeah, unless you're
Ronald.
Sorry,
you paused. You excited?
Unless you're Ronald. Nobody wants to be there. I don't even think Ronald wants to be there.
Well, that's probably why he dyes his hair. I've always thought that.
Well, no one's Ronald seen him McDonald, in years. I think he probably slit his wrist long ago.
Well, I think he's always had, with the dyed hair and the eccentric clothes, I think there's some deep-seated emotional issues with Ronald McDonald.
Yeah.
I mean, without a doubt, looking at a character like that.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a bit pedophilic.
Really?
Might I say.
So, the deep-seated emotional issues. He probably shouldn't buy a gun then, right?
You're just sitting on my buttons tonight. We have to do two shows. We're going to do our Breaking Bad show after this.
And then the yelling. Just that's the podcast. It's called
the bonus
yelling.
Episode, the yelling.
Yeah, where we just scream at each other. No, you're a duty head. You're the duty head. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, pay cards are a complete and total scam.
Yeah. This is one thing we agree on.
They are. It's a way to get your employees to pay for your payroll and accounting.
Uh-huh.
And
not have to pay for it yourself.
Because,
and on the backs of your employees, really. Because mm-hmm. it's their money that they're spending to get their money.
No, that,
which is a complete
misnomer. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You, instead of having to pay an accounting firm or an accountant or do your payroll yourself, you pay one of these debit card companies. What is the big one? A something?
ADP.
ADP. You pay one of them, and they, for a considerably lower fee than what you'd pay an accountant to do,
yeah,
your payroll, they will do it for you, and then they will charge your employees. Mm-hmm. So you're getting away.
Sometimes with each withdrawal.
Yeah, you're getting away with paying your employees 10 to 15 cents less than what you're actually saying that you pay them, which when you're making minimum wage, you're making $7.25 an hour. You're getting away with paying them less than minimum wage.
Yeah,
and that's not counting taxes or anything like that. So yeah, it's a complete and total scam.
Yeah,
and anyone who does it, any corporation who does it, shouldn't have our business. And I feel bad actually that McDouble's in my belly right now.
That's true. And you had a McDouble on the way in here to do the podcast. It was funny because when you opened it, I probably shouldn't tell that story.
No, you probably should.
So Matt was standing next to me. I was getting here preparing the show. I was seated, and he was standing right next to me. And he opened the McDouble. And Matt and I will converse on a number of subjects a lot of times. And I guess I'm trying to say, so there's no presupposition about what we won't discuss.
Yeah.
And I looked up at Matt, and I said, "Did you fart?" And he said, "No," which I'm trusting is true.
No, I didn't.
And we are pretty honest with each other about that. And he said, "No." And I just said, "I must be the McDonald's." I don't know, because he had just opened this burger.
Yeah.
And this wave of like.
It was fart smell.
It was a foodie, awful smell that came right when you opened the burger.
It was probably that might be double farted. And then when I opened up the wrapper,
yeah,
it let it out.
It hotboxed the wrapper, and then you opened it up. Yeah.
Yeah, you guys probably...
I'm telling you, it smelled bad. It really did.
You guys probably don't know that.
And it looked tasty. Yeah.
You guys probably don't know this, but McDonald's food can fart.
On its own. Completely autonomous.
It has a gastroendocrine system. And...
Yeah, it's true. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and give that some thought with Addison and Matt. Hey, guys. You're listening to Give That Some Thought with Addison and Matt. I'm Addison.
I'm Matt.
And we're here to tell you about a way that you can support the network. What's a way that they can support the network, Matt?
Well, if you want to support the network, go to the website, tripodbroadcasting.com. You can click on the Audible banner, download a free audiobook.
Free, you say?
Absolutely free. You sign up for the program, you get a free audiobook. Helps the show out a little bit.
Not a bad gig. You get a free audiobook, we get a little help. One thing you can also do, brand new, you can go and you can subscribe. You can either do it via a PayPal account or any major credit card. Subscribe, just send us a little monthly love. That's all you got to do. Keep this show on the air, keep this network on the air, and bring in great content your way.
By the way, if you don't show us any love, we'll still be on the air because we like podcasting.
Yeah, and we don't give up. We ate terribly this evening.
Yeah, I ate 3 taquitos and then a McDouble.
Yeah, and I had 4 taquitos. Why didn't you get... See, I can never buy in a number that's not even when I'm buying taquitos because they're 2 for 2. I get sucked in by that.
Yeah, but the price of a taquito is like $1.20. So really, you're spending 80 cents more to get another taquito that you don't really need. Although, I spent another $1 to get...
A McDouble. You didn't really need on top of 3 taquitos.
Yeah, I did. I never paid you back for it.
That's true.
By the way, if you want the $1, I got the $1, so I'll give it.
I should be hounding you for cash. Anyways, we're back on Give That Some Thought with Addison and Matt.
Give that some thought.
Indeed. I believe Matt has a story for us that he'd like to talk about.
I would.
One which he feels very passionately about. Yeah. I found out the other night when I went to his residence, and he informed me rather well. What are we looking at, Matt?
So, there's a scumbag.
Who has been previously mentioned, if you'll recall.
And I want you, listener, just think for a minute. Just let me paint this picture for you.
Give this some thought.
Think of the worst, most vile scumbag you can. The kind of person who does things where that you don't even want to talk about. Hmm. You don't even want to have them brought up for fear it will make your stomach turn. Hmm. And you won't be able to sleep that night, knowing that there are people out there like this scumbag. This is the kind of complete scumbag that we're talking about. This guy will, if there is a hell, he will burn in it.
Hmm.
And I'm talking, of course, about Pat Robertson.
Of the 700 Club.
Of the 700 Club and CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network.
If I can ask real quick, what is the 700 Club? Because I know it's a club that you can, but like, do you get anything? Like, it's not like a membership to like a golf club.
Think about what PBS does.
Okay.
Only instead of being a channel where they have like 4 different channels for 24/7 and they're, you know, mm-hmm. they have 1 hour every day that CBN does. Only 5 hours a week.
So,
and they
need money for that? Like, yeah, why?
That's, they're constantly asking people.
PBS is a channel.
Yeah, and I like every quarter or so they have a pledge drive where they try to raise money.
For just like PBS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's supposed to be doing, they're supposedly...
It sounds like a really B-grade PBS.
They're supposedly doing God's work, helping people out. They have this organization called Operation Blessing, which, mm-hmm. if you ask anyone involved with the 700 Club, is one of the largest charitable organizations in the world. If you ask anybody else, they've never heard of it.
That's probably true, because I have never heard of it.
Yeah. So, and you are... You go to church, you're a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and you've never heard of this person.
No.
Or that organization. This is from The Guardian. Mission Congo, how Pat Robertson raised millions on the back of a non-existent aid project. So, back in 1994, they had, in Africa, a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
In Rwanda.
Based around a civil war.
It's the same area that a couple years ago with all the Darfur.
Uh-huh, sure.
Same area.
Mm-hmm.
The same basic situation going on. A civil war, and people were, refugees were fleeing, and people were dying of disease, and getting caught in the crossfire, and being taken as slaves, and it was just a terrible, people were starving to death, because... international governments wouldn't give this area any aid until the rebels stopped fighting, and the rebels wouldn't stop fighting until they won. Plus, also the people involved in the war were holding food stocks and food piles and things like that for ransom, and just the people in that area were starving and dying,
suffering.
Disease, cholera, mm-hmm. was running rampant, and just preventable diseases and things like that. People were dying, and back in 1994, Pat Robertson had this mission called Operation Blessing, mm-hmm. a branch of the 700 Club, and he decided, "Oh, I'll help these people. I'll raise money, helping these people on my TV show, The 700 Club.
Mm-hmm. A good
and
thing
so he,
to do.
He had shows for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And I remember this because my mom would watch 700 Club all the time. Mm-hmm. It was on all the time in the house.
Yeah.
And he would spend weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks talking about Rwanda and this crisis in this region and getting money. Anyway, it ends up that he has an airplane, a cargo plane, that starts sending relief aid to Rwanda. Well, turns out that it was all a bunch of lies.
Hmm.
Turns out he got sued back in 1995 for this.
Right.
And the state of Virginia decided not to prosecute him. Uh-huh. Anyway, let's get into the article a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about specifically what he did or didn't do. So,
well, this is about a documentary.
Yeah, that just came out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One of the stranger sights of the refugee crisis that followed the 1994 Rwandan genocide was of stretcher bearers rushing the dying to medical tents, with men running alongside reciting Bible verses to the withering patients. The bulk of the thousands of doctors and nurses struggling to save lives, as about 40,000 people died of cholera, were volunteers for the international medical charity Medecins Sans Frontières. I think that's how you say it. Frontières.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a French.
Yeah. MSF. The Bible readers were hired by the American televangelist and former religious right presidential candidate Pat Robertson and his aid organization Operation Blessing. Robertson's U.S. television station, the Christian Broadcasting Network, that reality was reversed as he raised millions of dollars from loyal followers by claiming Operation Blessing was at the forefront of the international response to the biggest refugee crisis of the decade. Anyway, he goes on to say, Pat Robertson, we brought the largest contingent of medicine into Goma in Zaire, at least the first and the largest. Robertson said as recently as last year on his TV station. Now, a new documentary lays bare the extent of the misrepresentations of Operation Blessing's activities in the Democratic Republic of Congo, formerly Zaire. Anyway, it goes on to say that the millions and millions and millions of dollars that evangelicals in America sent to the 700 Club mm-hmm. for aid in Rwanda.
And what they thought was aid in Rwanda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't go
yeah.
to Rwanda, didn't go to Zaire. Didn't mm-hmm. go to the Congo. It went
to line the pockets
of Pat Robertson.
Yeah.
Because here's what happened. The documentary interviews the pilot who flew the cargo aircraft for him.
Uh-huh.
They took two trips. The first two trips, they went into Zaire, into the Congo.
Right.
Into, they went in there and they brought in Tylenol
mm-hmm.
and Bibles. Okay. Tylenol mm-hmm. not doing a whole lot for cholera or the starvation.
So
Bibles not doing anything at all.
Not a whole lot of aid.
No aid.
It could be argued that it's more aid than...
Well, let's have that argument. Okay. So somebody who's a refugee getting caught in the crossfire in the Civil War, who's uh-huh. starving and who has cholera.
Yeah.
So a New Testament, that saves their life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not even Jesus would do that. Like, yeah, that's the stupidest thing in the world. You don't bring Bibles to somebody who's starving and dying of disease.
Yeah.
You feed them, you cure the disease, and then say, oh, you know why I'm helping you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm helping you because I love Jesus and he told me to.
Yeah.
You don't say, oh, Jesus tells me to, and by the way, I've made more money in the past month than you'll ever see in your lifetime. Why don't you live as good as I do?
Yeah.
Why don't you be white like me? God, this is why I don't like Christians. Why I don't like Christians. Anyway, so second trip, they don't bring any supplies. They just go
the second
cargo plane trip.
Oh, okay.
According to the pilot who flew all 22 missions.
Okay.
For them. However, on the second trip, they did bring a couple giant industrial size mining drills.
Really? For aid.
For aid. What happens is, the pilot says, they brought this aid, or they brought the quote-unquote aid on the second trip.
Yeah, which is these two giant...
The zone of conflict took off and flew a couple hundred miles to a diamond mine, where they dropped off the equipment.
Yeah.
And then he said he flew 20 more missions for Operation Blessing. Okay, for Operation Blessing. Operation Blessing was on the side of the airplane.
It was on the side of the plane.
He was flying. They flew
great photo op.
Flew 20 more missions.
Yeah.
Not one of which went
no more aid?
Any area where there was conflict in Rwanda or in Zaire.
So no more Tylenol.
No more aid, no more Tylenol, no more Bibles.
Hmm.
They flew missions to carry industrial equipment to Pat Robertson's diamond mine. He owns a diamond mine outright. Just let's put that out there. Pat Robertson owns a diamond mine. He also owns a controlling interest in a gold mine.
That's
let's go down a little bit.
That's insane.
Robertson's activities in the Congo were initially exposed by a Virginian newspaper, the Virginian Pilot, in the 1990s. The investigation by Bill Sizemore prompted the Attorney General in Virginia, where Operation Blessing is registered, to order a probe by the state's Officer of Consumer Affairs. Its report concluded that Robertson made fraudulent and deceptive statements with claims to be ferrying doctors and medical aid to Goma when he was delivering diamond mining equipment. The accused Operation Blessing of misrepresenting what its flights were doing and of saying that the airstrip in Comonia was part of the aid operation when it was for the benefit of ADC's mining operation.
Huh.
It also said Robertson had falsely portrayed the Doomy farm as hugely successful when it had already failed.
You know, quick note, actually, if I may.
Hold on. But the Virginian authorities declined to prosecute Robertson, claiming and describing his misrepresentations as a blemish. Mission Congo notes that leading state politicians were recipients of large donations from Robertson.
Hmm. Now,
so basically, dude should have gone to jail for fraud,
and he paid
in the
90s,
and he paid off the state politicians in Virginia, where CBN and Operation Blessing and the 700 Club is registered, and he gets to do whatever he wants, and he gets to steal money from old evangelicals, old people in America, which were people who watch the show, and from people like my sister in 94, back when all this was happening, and my mom would watch the 700 Club all the time. My mm-hmm. sister
yeah.
watched it, and she, at the time, was 11, 12 years old?
Yeah.
Almost 13. Wanted to be a missionary. She always wanted to be a missionary. She's a missionary now.
Mm-hmm.
She's a children's pastor. Always wanted to be a missionary, and she said, Mom, I really want to give money. I really want to join the 700 Club and pledge to give money to the 700 Club.
It just sounds so cheesy, by the way. I'm going to join the 700 Club.
It does, but...
It sounds like there's only 700 places.
No, but in her 12, 13-year-old mind, that yeah. was noble. That was something that
sure.
she should do.
And
so
based
she
on
took,
Pat Robertson's messages, it would have been.
Yeah, so she yeah. took babysitting money that she had and the allowance, the measly allowance she was getting,
uh-huh.
which we didn't get a whole lot for allowance when we got an allowance at all growing up. But she took that babysitting money and her allowance and she gave that to 700 Club. This 13-year-old girl, all the money she had, she gave to 700 Club so that Pat Robertson could own a diamond mine and a controlling interest in a gold mine.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I don't know if the rage in me is being clearly communicated
yeah.
to the listening
well,
audience.
Well, it is to me.
However, Pat Robertson duped my f***ing sister
mm-hmm.
into taking all of the money that she had at the time, and he put it in his pocket. No one was helped
yeah.
by the money. And the thing is, isn't that Pat Robertson is a charlatan, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's a crook,
mm-hmm.
and he is. It's not he's a scumbag, and he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's the innocent people that are being
still suffering
that are suffering because of what he's done. Not just Americans who are losing money to this guy
uh-huh.
and his organizations, but the people who that they think that they're helping. And again, it comes down to emotional masturbation. She gave a little bit of money and she thought she was doing something good.
Yeah.
To her, she gave all the money she had.
Yeah.
Like the widow's two mites.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
She gave everything she had.
Uh-huh.
So, and she thought she was doing some good.
Yeah.
She's not doing any good at all. Like, she's being lied to and manipulated so that you can feel good about yourself. And then,
yeah.
and yes, you are innocent. You're not doing anything. But still, like, it's a vicious cycle of snake oil salesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
This guy should not be alive. And that... the main point I want to make with this is that I've come to a conclusion. I don't think that you can... I think if you think about it, this is the only conclusion that you can come to, mm-hmm. and that is that Pat Robertson is an outright, complete, and total atheist. There is no...
Yeah.
There is no logical way that Pat Robertson actually believes what he espouses every day. He is an atheist. If he did believe what he espoused every day, there's no way
that you could pull,
that he could have done what he did in the mid-90s and what he's continued to do. What he did in the mid-90s by paying off politicians, the article makes it seem like, the documentary makes it seem like every possible politician he could pay off in the state has been paid off to look the other way while he continues to take people's money and act the charlatan. There's no way that he can believe in Jesus, because if he believed in Jesus, if he believed in the Bible, if he believed in an actual literal hell, he knows that he's going there. He knows that there is not... that there is a specific place for him. The Bible says there's a specific place. The only time it says there's a specific place for a certain group of people, but it's a specific place for the certain group of people of charlatans and snake oil salesmen who fill a pulpit.
Of ministry, yeah. Uh-huh.
And are ministers and who lead people astray.
Yeah.
There's a certain special, extra helly place in hell mm-hmm. for these guys.
Yeah.
That's why I believe that Pat Robertson and people like Jerry Falwell, so many others like him, the televangelists.
Yeah.
They don't believe in God.
Yeah.
They are complete atheists. They're more atheists than me, and I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit of a pendulum. I swing back and forth between evangelicalism, agnosticism, and evangelicalism. Like I swing back and forth all the time. I'm not an atheist. I can't say that God doesn't exist. However, Pat Robertson lives as though God doesn't exist.
Yeah,
there's no way that man's a Christian. So, in the spirit of challenges. Two televangelists. I've already called out Joel.
That's
Osteen.
True, and the challenge still stands.
But here's the thing, Pat Robertson. Come at me, bro. Seriously, I don't even want to debate you. I just want to get in a room with you and beat the blank out of you.
Yeah,
I want to become gay so that I can rape you, and you know what that feels like. I'll rape an old man. I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, the point that I was going to make. Is that it's interesting to me because there was a story that came out, I want to say in the last 6 months or something, about just charities and the number of, really kind of breaking that down, the number of dollars that you give and what portion of those dollars mm-hmm. go to the front
yeah.
lines,
yeah.
so to speak. And the thing that gets me is that because you, televangelists in particular and people online and what have you, there are a dime a dozen people asking for your money for whatever cause it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the two flip sides of that coin is no one's going to say that there aren't people starving or suffering or disease ridden in the world. Those things happen.
Yeah.
But in terms of the percentage of the dollar that gets there, it's bad enough if you're furthering your own either interest or your own organization as you see it, or having a huge salary when you're a charitable organization. But I really think the insult to the injury here is the fact that there's a diamond mine and that these dollars are being used in a way that is not only what you're telling people that are being for, which is bad enough
yeah.
to take somebody's money and use it for something like building your own organization, but to use it for an organization such as a diamond mine and controlling interest in a gold mine, that's just... Because you have no reason not to send the planes of the things that you're saying that you're sending.
Yeah.
You're doing something deliberately other than that.
And his son is on that show with him, too.
Yeah.
His son, Pat Robertson's son, is on that show with him doing the exact same thing that he does. Looks
at
the same.
At a price.
Has the same.
He's got a big salary.
Oh, well, I'm sure. has the same way of speaking, the same sort of voice, and saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So 700 Club's not going anywhere.
No, not at all. When Pat Robertson dies, I'm sure well-informed, intelligent people such as myself and the listeners to this program will all party and have a good time. but his
dance
son
on the figurative grave of Pat Robertson.
Yeah, his son will be there to take up the mantle and do exactly what he's doing.
Yeah.
And continue
the Lord's work.
Yeah, the quote unquote Lord's work, and that yeah. So that's just another reason why. Now, and this is an old story. Like, this is back in 1994, 95 when this happened. I remember when my mom stopped watching the 700 Club because of all this happening. And Yeah, he's been a snake oil salesman for a while, and I don't see why how people don't know and understand that. I guess they just don't want to know and understand.
Yeah,
that this guy's a bad guy. This guy's a crook. This guy.
Yeah. Well, when you feel good about giving your money to somewhere, obviously you don't want to believe that type of thing. And I'm sure. I guess this documentary is out or coming out. I mean, it talks about the Toronto Film Festival, I think, which is yet to happen. But you know, I'm sure he'll say that it's the devil trying to overthrow his ministry and liars and whatever. Well,
it's always the devil trying to overthrow his ministry, right?
Yeah.
It's like the devil doesn't have anything better to do than.
But you got
to
look at your signs and make an informed decision.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, the devil has been blessing his ministry.
Yeah.
For 20 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not one blessing from God that Pat Robertson has ever received. It's all blessings from Satan.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that about wraps it up. Give that some thought. Episode number 13, a very unlucky episode.
A very unlucky episode. We were kind of all over the place. I apologize for the low quality of this episode. It's fueled by rage and caffeine and McDonald's hamburgers.
And a farty McDouble.
The fartiest of McDouble.
It was really nasty. You opened it and it was very unpleasant.
By the way, would you watch a movie where the main character's name was Farty McDouble?
Farty McDouble. maybe. I'd have to know more about the premise. But yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
Farty McDouble and the Chalice of Destiny. Like a fantasy.
I'd watch it.
Fantasy epic. I want to write that screenplay about Farty McDouble.
Well, finish your Star Wars screenplay and then go for it.
Farty McDouble Finds Love.
Farty McDouble Finds Love.
Yeah, a rom-com. Starring Katherine Heigl and some good-looking dude.
Some good-looking dude.
Farty McDouble is Katherine Heigl. That was her name in high school. Yeah, when she had uncontrollable flatulence. And the whole premise of the movie is she's a woman with uncontrollable flatulence who never lived down the name Farty McDouble in high school.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it.
Now she loses weight. She becomes, she's successful.
The Katherine Heigl that she
and
is
she,
now. Yeah.
She meets the bully in high school who called
Farty
her
McDouble's number
Farty
one
McDouble.
Nemesis.
Yeah,
right.
Who originally started the Farty McDouble. Yeah. And he's changed as well, become very sensitive.
Now we have a villain.
Very,
yeah.
Very good looking. And now they fall in love. And the whole premise of the movie is on whether or not
she's going to give up the Farty McDouble.
She'll give up the Farty McDouble. Whether or not Bradley Cooper will,
Cooper.
Yeah. Whether or not he'll woo Farty McDouble.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I want to see Katherine Heigl as Farty McDouble.
Well, tweet at myself at Addison Todd on Twitter. Tweet at Matt at mhulme2574. That's MHULME2574 because he can't come up with a Twitter name that makes sense like the rest of us. And tweet at the show at Give Thought Show. And if you like us, rate, review, subscribe on iTunes, give us the old 5 stars and the old thumbs up on Facebook, and we will see you next week on a very lucky episode.
Number 14, see you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
This has been a production of Tripod Broadcasting.